invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to get back there today. Ephesians chapter 6. We have, if you've just been joining us recently at the church, we have been going through an exposition of the book of Ephesians and took a break for a while. I was off from preaching in the month of July. And then after coming back, had some topics that I wanted to deal with as a church. And now we're finally today getting back to Ephesians 6. So we're going to read verses 1 through 3 this morning. That's the primary text that we will have before us today and seeking to hear from God's Word. So Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to share with you a message entitled, To the Children of the Church. All right, so let's look here at chapter 6, and I'll start reading at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we do hope in your word. And Father, we need you. We need you just as the watchman waits for the light. God, we need you. And I pray, Father, today that you would hear our cry to you that we need you. And Father, where there is pride in this congregation among your people, I pray, Father, that you would give grace that they might humble themselves and that we might all humble ourselves before you and see how great our need is. So, Father, we call out to you today for this. Praying even, God, I pray for our children, that they would be able to hear what you're saying to them from the Bible. And I pray that their lives would be radically impacted by what we find here, or, God, that they would be encouraged. And, God, I'll say, and that they would be encouraged by what we find here. So, Lord, I just ask you to please use your word this morning and however you see fit. We are your people, sheep of your pasture. And I'm grateful today, God, that we can pray and come and do what we're doing today. It's all because of your Son. So I pray this in his name. And I ask you to bless us and help us during this time as we look at your wonderful word. In Jesus' name, amen. That's kind of an emotional thing to me, I think, because, man, I really desire for the children of this congregation to live for the Lord. I guess I didn't realize how much I desire that until this morning. But I truly do. And I pray that we will hear from God's Word today. And that the children of this congregation will heed the Scriptures. Because in this, the Bible speaking directly to you. And so let's go to the passage and and look at it. What I would like to do is to just make some observations to begin with. Before we start working through the outline or anything like that, let's just take this and work our way through it. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul, the apostle, this is apostolic writing to the children. It's to the children of the church. Now, as I look in my New King James Bible, the word children is in all caps to begin with. Don't worry, he's not yelling it at you. Okay? If you look at it, I believe every chapter starts with the word capitalized, all the letters. So don't worry about that. But the word children is technon. It means a physical descendant of someone else. And that's what it is. It's a physical descendant of someone else. My children will always be my children. No one's ever going to ask me in my life, so how many adults do you have? You know, they're not going to do that. They're always going to say, so how many children do you have? 30 years from now, they're not going to say, so how many adults do you have? They're always going to say, how many children do you have? And that's the reality of it. This word means a physical descendant. Now, obviously, as Paul's writing this to the church, he is really targeting the younger people in the congregation. Age limits for children, you know, kind of varies, different cultures and different times. And I think in the state of Alabama, you're not considered an adult actually until you're 19 years old. But it's most places in America, it's 18 years old for most things. But, you know, for a Jewish child, a Jewish boy, you'd be 13 years old, you'd be considered a man. In the Roman society in which this was written, the father of in Rome who had children, it was basically, you're a child until he tells you you're a man or you're an adult. And that's kind of the way it is today. If you're wondering if you're a child or not, ask your parents. All right? And they'll tell you if you're a child or not. All right? So he says children. Now, the cool thing about this is, you remember that God really, that Paul here is really showing how God has made for himself a new society of people through Jesus Christ. John Stott forms it in that way. He looks at this letter as a new society. God's people. We're all new in one person in Christ Jesus. A new family. And because of that, he starts dealing with family. You know, in the first part of this, chapter 5, verse 22, he talked about the husband and the wife relationship, all right, and how the gospel is supposed to transform the husband-wife relationship. It's to make it different. It's to make it something like the gospel. He doesn't leave the children out. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. That's the wonderful thing about the gospel. It isn't something just for men, but it's for women, it's for children, it's for all people who will come to know Jesus Christ, believing in what he has done through the cross. So here, we see in this passage that the gospel makes a difference for kids. The gospel makes a difference for children. So he says, children. And then he goes on from there and he says, obey. The word for obey here is a word, hypakouo. It's akouo, like acoustics, means to hear. The prefix hupo or hypa means to be under. So it means to hear under. So it's like you're hearing something under the authority of someone else. The idea with that is that you listen intently and you respond by doing. So you listen carefully and you respond by doing what was said. We're actually going to see that all through some Proverbs that we're going to look at in a little while. So obey, hypakouo, is the combination, that compound word that is found there. Why is that so important? Why is it so important that our children learn to obey? There's many many reasons listed in Scripture, but I want to point out a couple of things to you very quickly. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. At the end of the chapter, there are actually, 23 vices that are given, or 23 characteristics of a decadent or a reprobate society. Remember, I use this passage to help us understand what a perverse generation looks like. And if you pick up there in verse 29, he starts that list going through here and talking about what this perverse generation looks like. I don't know if I'll read all of them, but you see there, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness. Now let's go to verse 30. They're backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And then what's the next one? Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving. Now listen, all the kids need to listen up today. It's real important, children, that all of you listen. Because the passage that we're studying today, as a matter of fact, really kids, this is a sermon that I'm preaching for y'all, and the parents are just here as observers, okay? They just get to listen in on the passage that I have for you today from God's Word. A reprobate or a really wicked society is a society that is disobedient to parents. And a Christian society, to be a part of a Christian family and for you as a child to follow the Lord means obedience to parents. Now, let's look at another place. And if you look in your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. All right, let's take a look at this. Here there are 18 in the list that are given. 18 vices or 18 characteristics of the people in the last days. And these last days are the days that we're living in. They really began after the death of Jesus and the beginning of the church during these last days in which we live. And we see here in 2 Timothy 3 that it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Y'all see that? See that? Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, and the list goes on. In other words, in the New Testament, when this topic is dealt with, the disobedience of children to their parents is characterized or is something that characterizes a perverse society, and it's something that characterizes the last days, the wickedness of the last days. For us as a church here at New Life Baptist Church and all of you wonderful children that God has blessed your families with, you are our heritage. God has given you to us as a gift. You are a heritage from the Lord. There's a judge, and I didn't look it up before today, but there's a judge in the book of Judges who had 10 sons. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God gave him 10 sons. They were a gift to him from God. And so are our children. You all are a gift to us, parents, from the Lord. You are not your own. You see, you too have a responsibility before God. And the thing that God tells you as children is that you are to obey your mother and your father, obey your parents. I'm glad I got a tissue up here with me today. I don't cry very often, but when I do, it's usually a mess. So, So that's that. All right, let's go back to the book of Ephesians. It's a pretty big deal, and I'm not trying to be overly dramatic. As a matter of fact, I was planning on being really funny during this message today, but it's not working out the way I intended it for it to be. So he says, children, obey your parents. Now, if you go back and you look at Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, it doesn't say there for wives to submit to all the husbands. And it doesn't say there for the husbands to love all the other wives or all other women. But it says to them that the wife is to submit to her husband, to your own husband. And that the wife is to respect her husband. And so it also says that the husband is to love his own wife. Here in this passage, we see in verse 1 that says, children, obey your parents. Now, that does not mean, obviously, that there aren't other adults that you need to obey, that you need to respect and listen to. That's obvious. But kids, what this is pointing out is that your primary authority in your life are the parents that God has given to you. And God wants you to obey, to hear carefully, and seek to do what your parents are instructing you to do. God takes this very serious. We will see that throughout Scripture. So we are to obey. You're to obey your parents in the who? What does it say there? Anybody see it? Any of your kids see that? In who? In the, what does it say? Lord? In the Lord. All right? So in the Lord. We're going to take that to mean in Jesus Christ. All right? So children, the Bible's saying here that God wants you to obey your parents in the Lord. The fact that Jesus Christ exists, and it's not teaching here that only obey the parents that are in the Lord, but your obedience to your parents is in the Lord, in the one who gives you life and breath and all things, the one who you live and move and have your being. You see, everything, children, everything about your life is because God gives it to you and enables you to do it. It's in Him that you live and breathe and have your being. So, children, because of that, you are responsible to Him. And just as parents, just as adults, are to live their lives before God, seeking to obey Him. The Bible here is laying out that you, children, can obey the Lord. And your obedience to your parents is because of God and your desire to follow Him. But we see this also in this verse at the end of it. It says, for this is what? What is it? Right, that's right. This is right. It is the right thing to do. Did y'all know that even animals, baby animals, obey their parents? Parents of animals will nudge them, push them, lead them, do whatever they need to do to gain their obedience. And we certainly are higher than the animals in God's creation. And it is only right that children would obey their parents. Does that make sense, kids? I mean, your parents, what advantages do your parents have on you? They're bigger than you, first of all, so you kind of better obey them because of that reason. Most of the time, they're bigger than you for quite a while. Not forever, but for quite a while. They're smarter and wiser than you are, right? They they pay the bills, right? You got food to eat, clothes to wear, all those different things. Why? Because mom and dad take care of that. Those are just three things. But there's lots of reasons as to why it makes perfectly good sense that children ought to obey their parents. And you know why else you ought to obey them? The reason your parents have the wisdom that they have is because they've made a whole lot of mistakes in their life. And the things that they're warning you against is because they know exactly what's going to happen if you keep going the way you're going. So they give you warning, they give you instruction, because they've seen these things. And it's right. There's something that came up as I've studied this in what's called medieval theology, in the Middle Ages, in theology called natural justice. It's a natural law. And that'll take us to our points here. First point is this: obey your parents, for this is right. For this is right, we see in verse 1. Obey your parents, for this is right. And the reason this is right, there's two reasons that we've seen already in this text. One is this: natural law. This is right. It's just the right way for things to go. Warren Wiersbe has given a comment on this that I'll read. It says, "There is an order in nature, ordered of God, that argues for the rightness of an action. Since parents brought the child into the world, and since they have more knowledge and wisdom than the child, it is right that the child obey his parents. Even young animals are taught to obey." It says, he writes and says, "The modern version of Ephesians 6:1 would be, parents, obey your children, for this will keep them happy and bring peace to the home." He goes on to say, "But this is contrary to God's order in nature." This is the way that God has ordered things. Even Confucius, who was a Chinese like philosopher and politician who lived a long time ago, he taught things that still today in the Oriental culture are practiced, because he held in high regard the familial relationship between parents and children. And still today, there's a great deal of respect. So there's that natural law, but also we see that, I just listed it as this, Christian law. We do it in the Lord. It's because of Jesus Christ and who He is, and that we want to live our lives before Him, knowing that we do live our lives before Him. Now, having said that, let's look at a few other things here, and then we'll wrap up for today and then pick back up next week. But as we think about this Christian law and living our lives before the Lord, let's think about Jesus Christ Himself. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This is that account, you may remember it, where Joseph and Mary lost Jesus. And anyways, they left Him in Jerusalem. And they had come back to find Him. In verse 49, it says, "He said to them, 'Why do you seek Me? Did you not know that I must be about My Father's business?' But they did not understand the statement which He spoke to them." I believe Jesus was 12 years old when that happened. Verse 51, "Then He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them." That means He obeyed them. Does anybody have a different translation than subject right there? Different word found there? Obedient. Say again. Submissive. All right. So then He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient. He was submissive. He was subject to them. Subject to who? Subject to His parents, Joseph and Mary, who were, you know, His parents. But His mother kept all these things in her heart. Verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Let me ask you this question. If Jesus had have gone down with his parents and rebelled against them, would he have increased in stature? Would he have gotten bigger? Sure, he would have grown and gotten bigger. But would he have increased in wisdom without being submissive to his parents? What's the answer? No, he wouldn't have. And kids, and I'll show you other verses on this before this study is over with. Children, I will say to you this morning that you will not increase in wisdom if you do not make an effort to obey your parents and submit yourself to your parents. Now, God's grace is sufficient. God can save us later in life and do wonderful things. But I'm telling you, you're going to miss out on a lot if you do not seek to obey your parents at the youngest age you can possibly do so. So Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, but he also increased in favor. Who did he increase in favor with? What's the Bible say? God and men. Would that have happened if he would have been rebellious against his parents? All right, let's look at another place concerning Jesus' obedience. If you'd look at Hebrews chapter 5, this is an interesting verse, and I'm not going to say to you this morning that I've got the absolute right interpretation of it. It's just got the way that I can understand it. If you have a greater understanding in it than I do, then please enlighten me after the message. But Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. This is talking about Jesus, who in verse 5, Hebrews 5, verse 5, was called, it was said of him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And also it was said of him, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." And then in verse 7, it talks about Jesus who in the day, this is talking about Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, or is it talking about Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Now we go to verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So Jesus, in some way or the other, learned obedience. Does that mean that Jesus was disobedient? Most likely, what this means is, it meant that Jesus learned what it means to be obedient by the things which he suffered. He learned the meaning of obedience. And then in verse 9, it says, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who," what? "Obey him." So we see in this passage that Jesus learned obedience, what it meant to be obedient by the things that he suffered. And then after that, he became what? Perfected. Would the perfection have come without the obedience? No. Would the crown have come for Jesus without the cross? No, it wouldn't have. And children can think of their own lives in that way. You can say, "Hey, I don't like obeying my parents. I want to do my own thing. I don't feel like obeying them." See, the Bible doesn't say to live our lives according to how we feel. The Bible is clearly laying out here the responsibility of children to obey their parents. And there is reward that comes from that. Let's go to one other place in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Now, some of your parents may be sitting there I'm glad my kids really need to hear this. But, you know, I would ask you parents too, what do your children have to obey? What do they have from you to obey? Now, Or are you just letting them run amok to do whatever they want to do? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and I won't read all of this, but it says there, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became," what? "Obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Jesus humbled himself. And children, really, that is the thing that God is calling you to in obedience, is humility before your parents. To humble yourself and to realize that they are God's authority in your life. And whether you understand it, whether you agree with it, whether you like it, whether it feels right to you or not, that the thing that God is calling you as children to do is to obey your parents. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not talking about any wicked commands from parents. I'm not talking about when parents are requiring vile and wrong things from their children. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is in the standard life, living for Christ, living before the Lord, seeking to obey the rules of the home. All of these things that are part of everyday life for typical families who are seeking to follow the Lord, then the Bible says, obey your parents. And even families that are not seeking to obey the Lord, when it comes to just everyday matters of life, children are called to obey their parents. So, that's a little bit there on this topic to begin with. And we'll finish by reading Colossians 3:20. Here in Colossians 3:20 is in this twin letter to the book of Ephesians, Paul writes to the church in Colossae as well, and he says this to them. It's very similar to what we find in Ephesians chapter 6, but here in Colossians 3, he writes to them and says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." See, you live your life before the Lord. And when you seek to obey your parents, you are pleasing Jesus Christ. You are honoring Him, and you are pleasing Him. Isaac, someone said, I think it was John Stott, Isaac's willingness to be offered as a sacrifice, you know, in the Old Testament, Abraham's son, is a model of such submission. Disobedience to parents is a symptom of a disintegrating social structure. And Christian families have a particular responsibility not to contribute to the collapse of an ordered community. I'll stop there. We do all of this because of our Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Maybe today you're a child and you're here, and you realize that you've really broken God's law in many ways, that you've been disobedient not only to your parents but to God, and you need a Savior. The Bible gives us who that Savior is. It's Jesus. And you can come to Him in faith and repentance. But it's not just for children. Any adult who's here today, maybe you're an adult and you look back over your life and you say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner, because I have been so disobedient and dishonoring to my parents and I need God's forgiveness." Today, Jesus Christ is mighty to save. The Bible says in Psalm 130, "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquity, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." So I encourage you today to come to Christ, who is a mighty Savior. Let's pray together. Our Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word today. And God, you know how much we need this to be sealed to our hearts and to just be able to obey it, Father. And I pray that you would help us today. I pray you would give us all grace, Lord, to hear your word, bow our knee before you, and live our lives before you. Forgive us, Father, I pray. And I pray now you would draw sinners to yourself through the wonderful gospel of Jesus that saves us from our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.